Welcome to the Jeff Thomas Show. Always on time and bringing you the hottest topics today. Now, introducing the show host, Jeff Thomas.
You tuned in to the Jeff Thomas Show. I am your host, your man, Jeff Thomas. Welcome to another edition of our show, episode 343. Man, we getting it in today. I got a hot topic, man. We talking about Ice Cube, what's been going on with my man Cube, and the recent backlash he's gotten from associating himself with Donald Trump. We're going to talk about that. Also, we're going to talk about Donald Trump and his disdain for black women. And I'm going to play a clip, man, and I'm going to let you all kind of hear that. Let me know what you think. Man, and tomorrow night we got a hell of a show. The Black Men Talking Show is back. All things black men will be talking tomorrow night. We got a hell of a panel that's going to be discussing some issues concerning black men. So make sure that you tune in tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And then, you know, Thursday is Relationship Thursday. So make sure you get in on that, man. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Get an opportunity, man. Like our page on right here on the Blog Talk Radio. If you're listening, you can follow right there. You get all the updates right here on Blog Talk Radio. Of course, we're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, we're on iHeartRadio, Google Play. We're on everywhere where you find your podcast. Make sure you tune in to the Jeff Thomas Show. Whew. Today, and I'm going to hop right to it, man. I'm not going to waste no time, for real, because it's been a lot of backlash against my man Cube. And let me just say this. I did a post last week about Ice Cube, and you know, I was really just joking. And you know, but on social media, you can't really joke with people, because people take stuff all different kind of ways, man. They just take it and they run with it. So I just said, you know, Ice Cube, this is my post. This was last Wednesday. I posted, brothers and sisters, we, the black delegation, need to have a special session called to discuss the membership of Brother Ice Cube. We're trying to figure out what the fuck is going on. And that's what I posted. And so people kind of went in on the post. You had some people that was upset. Some people were joking. Some people were, you know, you in support of Cube or whatever. But I'm going to read a couple of pieces from that as we go through. And I'll come back to that in later on in this segment. But, you know, when you have figures like Ice Cube, and I don't want to put Ice Cube in the realm of a Flavor Flav, but, you know, when you watch Flavor Flav, you remember, for people who don't know about Flavor Flav, Flavor Flav was part of he's the greatest hype. They call him the greatest hype man ever in hip hop. And Flavor Flav was a part of Public Enemy, one of the most radical groups during the 80s. Black Power. I mean, I used to bump Public Enemy when I was in school. But later on, you know, 20-some years later, Flavor Flav is on VH1. He acted like a clown. He acted like a buffoon. And, I mean, he was dating Bridget Nelson, and it was just a whole thing. And he had the Flavor of Loves, where he was dating all these women. And I think it was Flavor of Love, too, where he was eating chicken, and he was acting real buffoonish. I don't want to use the word coon, because that has some really negative connotations to it. But it kind of, I don't want to put Ice Cube in that lane. But it kind of reminded me of that, in a sense that Ice Cube, and I'm a huge Cube fan, huge, from all of the Fridays. I like a lot of his movies that he's played in and that he's created. Love Cube. Love his music. Death Certificate. The best, one of the best in the 90s. One of the best CDs to ever drop. And when Cube was a part of N.W.A., which everybody know, N.W.A. was one of the most polarizing groups to hit the 90s back in the day. And so when you have a figure like Ice Cube, and African-American people do have issues with Donald Trump. I don't think prior to Donald Trump becoming president, black people didn't really have an issue with him. As a matter of fact, in a lot of the raps, you know, a lot of the rappers used to refer to Donald Trump as that's where you wanted to be financially. You wanted to be rich like Donald Trump, although he's had bankruptcies and all kind of stuff. But everybody wanted to be like Donald Trump. So with that being said, you know, once he became president, we saw who the real Donald Trump was. We saw who he was. And some of the things that he said, I mean, he won't back off from being from saying that he's a racist, you know, or from or denouncing racial racist Klan groups and Proud Boys, whoever these people are. So he won't denounce them. So Ice Cube, and I know Ice Cube had great intentions. He came up with a plan, a contract with Black America. And I actually got a chance to read through some of it. And I actually think it's a great plan. I think it's a great plan. And you had Donald Trump, who had the Platinum Plan, which I said was insulting. It was ridiculous. It was very, although I like that somebody had mentioned that in one of the earlier podcasts, to say the word Platinum Plan was very racist in nature. It was. I mean, because we know platinum, gold, we know Black people, we know what attracts Black people. We know keywords that attract us. So when I heard that, I'm just like, man, okay, whatever, you know, but Cube, I guess he reached out to some of their people, or his people reached out. He didn't actually meet with Donald Trump. But I mean, if you meet with the Trump administration, you're meeting with Donald Trump. So let's not get that confused. Let's not get that confused. When you meet with someone from the Trump administration, you actually are meeting with the Trump group and Trump, Donald Trump, because they're representatives of his. Now, Q, much love to you, brother. And I was on the fence with this, but when you play in this political game, you have to be prepared for any backlash that could take place. So in this situation, yes, while I like, and I'm going to run through some of the contract with Black America, and I wish that some other Black people would actually read through it, because it actually has some good content. And from what I heard, Q had some educators, he had some finance people, healthcare people, he had all sorts of people working and engaged with him on this. But my advice to Brother Cube is this, that if you're going to play that political game, you got to be prepared for the backlash. And that's the only thing. Those people in politics are grimy to the maximum. They will use you up and suck you dry. So you knew that the Trump administration was going to use Ice Cube as sort of a model to work with, because they're trying to get the Black male vote. And so I said this before, all they need is 20% of the Black male vote, and Donald Trump can win. He can win. So we have to look at the games that's being played. And we know Cube, in the eyes of Black men, Cube is a man's man. So that's how you view him. That's how you see him. I see Ice Cube. He don't play no games. His disposition is very stern and very straightforward. And so that's how a lot of Black men are, or that's how a lot of Black men aspire to be. And even some white men, or some Latino men. And so my comments to Cube was that when you play in this game, just be prepared for the backlash, and you can't really be on the defensive. And not only did Donald Trump's people try to exploit the situation, but you had African-Americans who tried to exploit him. And I'm calling him out. I thought Roland Martin, on Roland Martin's, his podcast, his shows that he does on social media, I thought that he really tried to embarrass Ice Cube. I thought he tried to embarrass him. And so if you know anything about the contract with Black America, you would know that Ice Cube put this plan together after the George Floyd situation. And so a lot of times what Black people will do, or is when something happens, you have a response to that action. And Cube, I totally believe this, that his intentions were great. And I will say this, it's okay. It's all right. It's okay. I know we have other educators, and Cube did consult with other people. He did. He did his due diligence, which I respect that. But sometimes our entertainers, you know, we want them to be engaged and we want them to be involved. But then when they get engaged and get involved, we kind of shun them. And so he's been facing a lot of Black backlash from the African-American community. And I've said this before, Cube, just, you know, this game is vicious. It's a vicious game. And so, you know, Roland Martin asked him a question. He asked him, where was he at you know, 4 years ago. What was he doing 4 years ago? Ice Cube's response was, it was very, and this is how you know Cube is straightforward. Cube said, hey, I was making music and making movies. I was in the studio. I was putting out an album. And so that made, to me, it just made Cube look like he was kind of out of touch. And that as long as you were doing your thing, you weren't really concerned about it. You weren't really concerned about the issues facing black people. Because as we know, I mean, we know Ice Cube ain't living in the hood. No entertainers are living in the hood. It's not. And so, you know, it did make Cube look a little, it just made him look a little out of touch. And so, and then they brought the Black Lives Matter and, you know, Roland Martin went through his plan and the contract with Black America and said that the Congressional Black Caucus was already asking for these sort of things, but it fell on deaf ears. And I'm like, Cube, you know, here's another case of Cube being exploited by Roland Martin. Because a lot of times the black intelligentsia, I'm calling it out, the black intelligentsia is out of touch with what's really going on. They want to make you feel like you can't be in that realm with them and that they're smarter than you. And that's what I saw from it. That's what I got from it. And I thought Brother Cube had to really, you know, he didn't really defend himself because Cube is straightforward. Cube's like, look, it is what it is. You know, I said these things and I did them. And so I think in these political realms, you have to be very careful because these people will turn your reputation upside down on both sides. Cube said he presented the plan to both the Biden and the Trump administration. And he said the Biden said, we'll talk to you after the fact. Now, here's my problem with that, because I'm trying to figure out, and I don't want to hear about, you know, the excuse of racism and all this. That's bullshit. I'm tired of it. There's no way in the world we should just accept racism as a reason for us not being able to get the things that we need to have done in this country. And let me just say this, tell you what I mean. White people, or people who are, I won't say white people, let me take that back. People who are in control. What is the problem with you giving us our resources and the things that we need to do and we need to have? What's the issue with that? Why are we having those problems? Why is it that if we ask for something, it has to be an issue? It has to be, you know, we can't get the things that's needed for us. And the money is there. The money is there. You can't tell me that you've given out trillions of dollars for different things, but you can't give out reparations to black people. I refuse to accept that. I refuse. And black people, we shouldn't have to ask for that. That should be given to us. You can't tell me the Japanese, they got their reparations. When they got bombed in Hiroshima, they got their reparations. Jewish people, they received their reparations when Holocaust happened. There are certain things that happen. How come African Americans have to beg? We have to beg for things. We couldn't even get the 40 acres and a mule. And then when we got part of it, they took it back from us. So yeah, a contract. I'm not mad at Ice Cube for presenting a contract. There's nothing wrong with that. The Biden campaign, no, I don't want to talk about it afterwards, because after we get you in office, you ain't going to do nothing. And then black people are going to go back to doing what they do regularly. We just accept it and we move on, and it's just life as usual and nothing happens. Then we have another black man getting shot, another black man getting choked out by law enforcement. It's ridiculous. So, yeah. I'm happy that Cube at least got the door open, because if the Congressional Black Caucus, all of these educated black men who have been in this caucus for God knows how long, how come we couldn't get anything done? And why aren't they listening to you? Because you're not hollering and screaming, and you're not talking to the people. You're not talking to the people. You're not engaging the people. Ice Cube, yes, it's Ice Cube doing it and whatever, people upset about it. But you know what? At least he did it. If he got twisted upside down and they used him or whatever, at least he did it. And so now people are coming out and saying different things about Ice Cube and his engagement with business. And certain, that's business. Hell, who has the money? Who has the cash? And Ice Cube is an owner. He's Cube Vision, and he has the 3-on-3 basketball. I mean, what do you all expect him to do if he's in those circles? He lives in L.A. That's where all the movies and the money rolls. What do you expect them to do? I'm kicking this to the black folks who are ripping them apart. I'm just saying, we got to kind of, you know, we got to look at ourselves. And then D.L. Hughley is going off on him. And you know what? This is the thing. D.L., pick up the phone. Pick up the phone and talk to Ice Cube. You got access and you can get access. But pick up the phone. And we shouldn't be so reactionary towards him and have such a negative reaction towards Ice Cube. Why? Pick up the phone. D.L. Hughley said, you know, we don't send, you know, he basically said Cube wasn't qualified. And so Cube now is on the defensive because he has to defend himself. So now we have a brother like Ice Cube who wants to do something and could have influence over other rappers to do things. But then we shun him for doing it. We shun him for doing it. Makes no sense. We have to get better. So this divisive tactic that's being used, we seem to be. And I'm not saying it's just us, because other people, they use divide and conquer, you know, to control. But why is it that we seem to be the people who can't get along? Hey, listen, I'm going to get back to that. Hey, this is your man, Jeff Thomas, right here on The Jeff Thomas Show. Want to thank everybody for listening in. Follow our Facebook page, The Jeff Thomas Show. You can also follow me on Instagram, The Jeff Thomas Show. Hit me up on there as well. We're on Twitter, Jeff Thomas Show as well. There's a lot to be said about this. There's a lot to be said. This divide and conquer has been thrust upon us. And everybody likes to go back to the Willie Lynch. That's cool, whatever. You have black people out here. You have these Candace Owens and all these old type of people. Those type of people are racial entrepreneurs is what I call them. They're racial entrepreneurs. Even Dr. Boyce. I mean, Dr. Boyce, I like some of the stuff he says from an economic standpoint. Lately, some of his Facebook and some of his Instagram has just been ridiculous. Because we're using the vote as a divisive tactic. And we're saying, if there's no candidate, just don't vote at all. And I don't agree with that philosophy. I just don't agree with it. You have to look at the lesser of the two evils and choose the lesser. If you feel, that's just my opinion. This is my opinion. If you have a racist over here, an open racist, I mean, and we know Biden has done some stuff in his past too. But damn, what do we do? We damn if we do, we damn if we don't. So what are we going to do? When we have all this divisive stuff coming out and people, it's everything, we're being bombarded. There's a reason everybody is trying to gain the black vote. There's a reason. I wish we would understand that as black people. Why our vote is so important. But for some reason, we've been divided so much as a people. We know it's based on slavery. It's based on slavery and the things that happened during the slavery times and what they did to keep us apart. Even bringing us across the transatlantic slave trade from the shores of West Africa. We couldn't even speak the same language. They knew to put everybody, all this stuff was scientifically done. They knew we couldn't speak the same languages, so they put us, youth from a different culture, youth from a different community, they all put together that people couldn't understand each other. That's a divisive tactic. So we have to understand that at some point, we have to come together as a group of people and just be smart. Just be smart. Yes, we rip certain people. I'm going to tell you, if you're not for the advancement of black people to get out of poverty, to get out of racism, we don't want everything. We just want our peace. That's it. We make up, 14, 15% of the population. We just want our peace. It's a piece of the pie. We're not asking for everything. We just want our peace. But you would think that black people are the majority based on when you see crime on your television news at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, depending on where you live. And all of a sudden you're seeing black people the first 3 minutes shooting here, shooting there, so-and-so, so-and-so, here, there, south side of Chicago, Brooklyn, New York, Trenton, New Jersey, Liberty City, Miami, Houston, Texas, Compton, California, East Oakland. I'm just saying, Detroit. I'm just saying, these are the negative things that we see. So at some point, we have to get off of that. When is that going to happen? So yeah, Cube actually went in and said, this is the contract for black America. So let me read some. I'm just going to read some of the bullet points so that people could know. Because I don't think people know. I don't think people actually looked at it. because that platinum plan that Trump is talking about, get it out of here. You're not, that $500 billion ain't going to be for black people, because what Cube said, which I thought made very good sense. You always talking about people, black people, but then black people don't end up getting some of that $500 billion, because it ends up being Asian people, it ends up being Latinos, it ends up being other ethnic groups of color, and black people get the less of it. They get the least and the less. I understand. He says specifically for black people. There's nothing wrong with that. I have no problems with that. Hey, we need to start thinking about ourselves, our self-preservation and how we look. We've given too much to this country not to have something in return. And we're not begging for anything, but we want our piece of the pie. Let me go through this thing here. It says bill number one. This is the introduction to it. And I think it has it has 13 point plan. One says bill to guarantee black opportunity and representation. Adopt a plan of neo-reconstructions to redress past wrongs systematically imposed on black Americans economically throughout many generations that have resulted in a wealth gap. Wealth gap. So we getting popped. We getting popped. Because of the wealth. There's a wealth gap. We know that white Americans make 10 times more than African Americans. Let's just be real about that. Also, formally apologize to black Americans for past discriminations and slavery. Bill Clinton kind of did something like that, but it really wasn't sincere if you ask me. Additionally, black opportunities and representation will include affirmative action in schools, public schools, private schools, per student funding in states on equal basis instead of paid local property taxes. Hey, property taxes is huge when you're talking about education. Let's just be real. I went to public school. Our resources was trash. It was hot garbage. We had nothing to our white counterparts. Schools. We had everything. We had trash. Black representation on all government, civil rights bodies, civil rights class, mandatory in elementary schools, which should be real civil rights class. And let me tell you something about education. The history should be taught like it really is. It should really be discussed as it really is. Time out for all this schmoozing over. You know, when they show, I remember history class and they talked about slavery. They show black people working, picking up, you know, they had the baskets in their arm and they were picking things up and black people were enslaved. That was it. It was like a paragraph. One paragraph. I remember in my U.S. history class. It's like one paragraph. No, talk about the transatlantic slave trade. Talk about how brutal that was. Talk about how much of the economic warfare that was. Let's discuss that. Because, see, let's get down to the real. Let's get down to some real, real education and not this phony stuff. Let's talk about civil rights. Let's talk about the Jim Crow laws. Really talk about them and talk about the atrocities that happened. See, that's history. So if you teach that history, then guess what's going to happen? People have a better understanding and empathy for people of color and what happened. But they don't want to teach that. That should be in schools. And I'm not knocking the gay and lesbian community, but in Illinois, guess what? It's mandatory for elementary school students to know and to understand what gay and lesbian, that's in the curriculum. Imagine that. But African-American history is not mandatory for all students. Imagine that. That's what I'm saying. So when you have these sort of things, man, let's keep it real. So I'm agreeing with this. Yeah, I'm agreeing with number one, bill to guarantee black opportunities and representation. We're in this damn country. We invented damn near everything that goes around here. Let's be real. Shit, you think the stop sign? Hello? I'm not the stop sign. The traffic lights invented by a black man. That would never. That's a worldwide invention. That's a global thing. Let me just keep going. Gerrymandering reform. That definitely needs to happen. Need to get that voting stuff down. Because, you know, they try to manipulate the districts when they know, you know, that it's going to be blacks voting in a certain area. So gerrymandering needs to be gone. Period. Polling places in black communities, minority neighborhoods. Juneteenth become a federal holiday. Yeah, I guess that could happen. I mean, I'm not mad at that. You know, that doesn't have to be. Well, I guess because you got Columbus Day as a federal holiday. Well, is Columbus Day a federal holiday? I don't know. But if you know, if it is, whatever. I'm not really tripping on that. That could be a holiday for black people. You know, we can get off that day. I'm cool with that. It doesn't have to be federal, but it could be, hey, we're African-American. We Juneteenth, we off. Don't tell me that's Martin Luther King, because Martin Luther King's fought for something. He fought for a globally. What he did was global. And what he did for America that everybody seems to like and want to bring up Martin Luther King all the time. And they want to put him in, make him this martyr. And, oh, he was such nonviolence, and you shouldn't be so violent because Martin Luther King didn't do it. Yeah. Meanwhile, y'all was throwing bricks at his head and doing all kind of stuff. So stop it. Now he's the, such a great peacemaking man. Get out of here, man. I ain't got time for that. Number two, bank lending reform. Bank lending will be regulated to require banks to lend a percentage of all loans and credit category on an equal basis to the black population each bank serves. However, the minimum threshold must yearly meet the percentage equal to the national black population, currently 13.4%. Rates on black loans federally and foreign banks to be same average whites rates as whites. Can't get wealth unless you borrowing money. It is what it is. Can't get that wealth unless you the banks. I mean, we got banks in our communities, but what are they really doing in our communities? What are banks really doing in the black community? When you have a bank, you know, and a lot of, if you don't have a lot of homes in your area, you're not gonna have a lot of banks. That's number one. But what are they really doing? What are their give backs? And I don't know, so I'm not going to really speak to that, but I'm just asking the question. What are the banks really doing to really help the situation in regards to investing in the community? Unless they want to gentrify it. They want to gentrify it, then, you know, they all in on them developing neighborhoods. You know, I mean, if you look at in Chicago, the University of Chicago has taken over a certain section in Chicago. It's near the Hyde Park area. And if you're from Chicago, you know what I'm talking about. 63rd King Drive, Cottage Grove. They've bought all that land. They redeveloped it. They've pushed out. Now they're moving west to Englewood, to the Englewood area. They are just taking over everything. You know, that's what happens. That's what they do. Number three, federal funding of baby bonds. Pass a federal program providing every child with a government-funded trust account at birth, starting with a $1,000 contribution, as proposed by Senator Broeker and Representative Presley. Accounts to be managed by the Treasury, and only those born into lower-wealth families will receive more contributions each year, up to $40,000. At the age of 18, access the funds allowed, but restrict to assist enhancing actions such as buying homes, starting a business, or funding education, which I think is an excellent plan. That's part of reparations. I mean, that to me is, it makes so much sense, because it starts with the kids. Poverty starts when you're born. It starts when you're born. Now, you can make it out. There have been exceptions that made it out, and it's been some miracles. It's a miracle that black people who are successful have been able to make it out. They had to run through hoops. They just have. And don't give me that stuff. But I came to this country and I, get out of here. You didn't come to this country in chains. You didn't come to this country getting beat down. You didn't come to this country being forced to work from sun up to can't see sundown. Don't give me that. I ain't trying to hear it. You can take that someplace else. You can take it. I'm not even trying to hear that. Kick rocks with that one. And I truly, truly feel that way. Period. Point blank. I don't care about nothing anybody say about that. Four, Federal Reserves and government pensions for qualified black Americans. Federal Reserve allow one-time interest-free loan for home ownership. That would help more home ownership. Feds ensure banking institutions. It oversees comply with bank lending reforms. Feds adopt modern monetary theory with goals for full employment and avoidance of actual inflation. Federal and state pension funds. Okay, so, you know, you get that money, interest-free loans, that'll help. Finance overnight, a banking commission, or even a cabinet or sub-cabinet post will be set up to overlook and report on black and minority lending, housing, and mortgage shortage. So see, these are things that help the quality of life for black people. And they're talking about the money. They're talking about the money here. That's important because we're talking about closing the wealth gap. So when we talk about closing the wealth gap, it becomes ultimately important. My bad. Can't get the words out. Tongue is jacked up. Personal data. This is number five. Personal data. Most states publicly release bulk data. Arrestees unchecked. Like the 1970 Fair Credit Act, Fair Credit Reporting Act regarding credit data, there must be guidelines regarding arrest records and allow similar privacy and accuracy protection and the right to dispute and correct inaccurate data. Credit services will be reformed and mandate considerations of individuals' consumer data. Yeah, that needs to be done. That needs to be checked out. Because you be having all kind of, to me, it's too much information shared about people. My information, you should not be able to share my information without my consent. I don't care what it is. You should not be able to share it without my consent. Prison reform. This is huge. Heavily run prisons should be abolished. And I agree with that. I agree 100%. It says prison labor disallowed without consent and nonviolent offenders incarcerated for 10 years or longer will be freed if good behavior standards are met. I mean, why we got people in jail still on marijuana, an ounce of marijuana. Are you kidding me? Black men spending 20 years in jail. Prison reform, that's straight racist. But then we know prison reform, private industry prisons is about money. It's legal slavery. It's to be changed in the Constitution, by the way. That's legal slavery. And you incarcerated. So you got black men out here working for free. For these private industry companies, and they're selling this mess all over, come on. How do they get that labor, free labor like that? Then they talk about what they pay them. Look, man, get out of here. Now, we going to talk about democracy because democracy ain't always what it looks like. Democracy and capitalism is in direct. They clash with each other. Definitely clash. Judicial reform, we know we need that, people. It says eliminate mandatory minimums and three strike laws. The Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice reform through stricter guidelines and greater oversight over police. Department of Justice can be sued for noncompliance, lynching to become a federal hate crime, and the Ku Klux Klan declared a terrorist organization, which they just recently did that. The FBI came out and said they're the most dangerous threat to us. Go through these points. Police Reform Act. Now, this is key because we know that in a community that's black community is over-policed, okay? It's over-policed. It really is over-policed. Let's just be real. Police only respond when something happens. Somebody get shot, police go. Somebody get raped, police respond. Police is not about prevention. It doesn't. It just can't do it. It's not enough police to prevent crime. It's just not. So when I hear, when I watch these, and I know they do these comp stats and whatever, when I'm hearing police talk about, the crime rate is up here. How do we stop crime? People want them to stop crime. They can't stop crime. Crime's going to happen. Those are social ills. Those are things that happen that's going to happen. Police are just there to, they're just there to clean up the crime scene. That's all they're there to do. so let's not get it twisted there. But here, let me read this Police Reform Act that I'm going to get through this real quick. Police Reform Act. Police reform will be implemented in an expansive act that will at minimum include elimination of qualified immunity requirements of mandatory malpractice insurance for police officers, make municipalities liable for unconstitutional acts by police, mandatory use of dashboard and body cam. You damn sure need to have that cam on and it don't need to go off. If you do, you get fired immediately. It's no question. If your body cam goes off, you get fired. That should just be what it is, because we have to have accountability. Elimination of the chokeholds, that should be gone. No knock warrants. Come on now. No knock warrants. I'm just saying, no knock warrants should never happen. It should never happen. No knock warrant. That's dangerous for police officers. It's dangerous. So you go to somebody's house, and we saw what happened with Breonna Taylor, her boyfriend. What if he would have offed those police officers? What if he would have killed them? I mean, you no knocking. You coming in. You not announcing yourself. Anybody that comes in my house and not announcing not announce themselves, they getting done. It's my right. Establishment of residency requirements, de-escalation training, and requirements to update training serve severe penalties for evidence tampering, of course, including withholding DNA, a federal database of police and disciplinary records established and made public, and once fired for, cannot be rehired. Creation of Office of Independent Prosecutors to solely focus on prosecuting police accused of wrongdoing, and other reforms as listed in greater detail. So they go into greater details about it. FCC licensing of public airwaves, broadcast networks will be required to air black produced content equal to 20% of the total content of the network as measured. Confederate monuments, of course, that's a lot of that's been happening every day. Black responsibility. And this is the last piece I'll read. It's number 13. It says chronic poverty creates an atmosphere full of negativity, frustration, hopelessness, depression, alcoholism, drug abuse, crime, and violence. These are some of the conditions that plague the black community, which is dealing with extreme generational poverty. As we begin to gain social and economic equality, it's our duty to clean up ourselves and our community. This contract is a two-way street. As we gain social and economic equality, we must begin to dissolve the bitterness in our hearts for past wrongs. We must become better citizens who are more productive on all levels of American society. We really must step up after we pass the contract with Black America, with no more excuses left in the kitty. Our entertainers should be persuaded. Okay, and I they kind of cut off right there. So that's the kind of gist of it. It's more in detail. They kind of summarized it. And I will say that Ice Cube is I can applaud him for that. And I don't see what would be wrong about that contract with Black America. It there should be nothing wrong with it at all. Nothing. So while I know some of us are mad because we're looking at the surface level, let's start digging deep. Let's start looking into what's really going on. Let's start looking into what's really happening. And Ice Cube, I thought that plan was laid out solid. And if the Congressional Black Caucus is doing it, we haven't heard about it. And so Ice Cube put it together and now we hear about it. So, you know, obviously there are some things there that need to be done. And maybe we as black people need to prepare some of our entertainers and politicians, I would say, need to train some of our entertainers to be better spokesmen. I'm just saying. Hey, this is your man Jeff Thomas on the Jeff Thomas Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. That's right. If you want to check out our show, you can check it out on all formats where you get your podcast: Spotify, iTunes, iHeart, Blog Talk Radio. We're all over right now. So Stitcher, make sure you get in, download, subscribe to our podcast, follow our show. If you're on Blog Talk Radio, follow our show there. But if you get it on iTunes, follow us, subscribe, give us comments, feedback, whatever. Hey, we take it all. I take it all. No problems with that at all. Just check us out and let us be done. I wanted to read some of it, but I think I'll let that go. I'm not going to read the Facebook post on Ice Cube. I think I've given that some run. You want to follow us on Facebook, The Jeff Thomas Show. That's our Facebook page. Like our Facebook page, follow our Facebook page. Help us grow that. Help us make that us grow that. I'm trying to do it organically as much as possible. But do that for us. I'm going to run into this Donald Trump disdain for black women. And I put that on there. And I'm going to play a clip that I got. And I thought it was very interesting. Clip and what was said on a clip, and let me go to it, because you know our black women, they do get disrespected on the real. They get disrespected big time. It's time out for the disrespect. It just is time out for the disrespect. And at some point, you know, we have to figure out, as black men, we got to figure out how to step up for our black women. And we do. We have to figure out how to step up for our black women. We have to figure out how to protect them. This is serious business. We can't leave our black women out there on a pedestal, or I mean, we can't leave them out there on the island by themselves. We cannot. We got to protect them, because our black women to stand up. If they had the strength, they'd be whooping ass for real. If they had man strength, they'd be kicking ass for real. It wouldn't even be no, because we've seen in history where black women have especially in the civil rights, they've done business. So I'm gonna try to get this clip queued up, see if we can get it, queued up. And some of the stuff, and we heard him call Kamala Harris a monster.
With Mike Pence, who destroyed her last night, by the way, but this monster.
Donald Trump has a long history of racism.
If I were starting off today, I would love to be a well-educated black because I really believe they do have an actual advantage today.
People are trying to figure out why isn't he giving his birth certificate. It's not a birth certificate.
Oh, look at my African-American over here.
But he especially hates black women. That's not hyperbole. Watch for yourself.
What a stupid question that is. But I watch you a lot. You ask a lot of stupid questions.
What do you make of that?
Well, I just think it's a nasty question. That's why you used to work for the Times and now you work for somebody else. That's enough. Low IQ, Maxine Waters.
Same thing with April Ryan. You talk about somebody that's a loser. She's very nasty. This monster that was on stage, she's a disaster.
I thought she was most horrible, most disrespectful of anybody in the U.S. Senate.
Monster, disaster.
Disrespectful, horrible, low IQ.
Stupid, you people, nasty.
That's Donald Trump. And you know what? He attacks black women, man. Dude is just the most idiotic when it comes down to things like this. That's the president of our country. It's really the president of this country. We're a laughing stock. We are a laughing stock. And I don't care what people say. Oh, JT, you really going in. Jeff, you really going in. Man, come on. Nobody should be in office as the president of the United States saying those things about those women. He should not be. These are our strong women who stand up. Now, I don't know what a black woman did to him. Probably turned him. He probably tried to get with a black woman. Probably secretly loves black women. I don't know what Amorosa didn't give him none or what. I'm just saying, man. This dude is just like crazy. Maybe Amorosa used to rip him apart when they, you know, whatever they was doing. But he seems to have a serious issue with black women. And that right there, you got to know. Who do they attack? Attack the strong, baby. Attack the strong. And so you know if you try to tear down the black woman and you try to tear her down and discredit her, then you could just ease your way right on in. You can ease your way right on in. Serious business. I want y'all to stay woke out there. They know where to try to penetrate. They know where the strength is. And yes, black men, while we're strong, you know, we should definitely stand up. And I'm gonna give you this real clear cut example. I remember when President Obama, and no knock on President Obama, love him as the president, as the first black president. I remember his first State of the Union address. And a man, one of those senators or whoever he was, congressman, stood up and called president a liar at the State of the Union address. And President Obama, he took the high road. But let me tell you something, man. This is where we have to find strength, use our strength as black men. I'm the president of the United States. You calling me a liar, the State of the Union address. If I'm President Obama, you know what I'm doing? I'm walking down from that podium and I'm telling you, say that shit to my face. What you gonna do? Say it to my face. See, we gotta show strength. Obviously, Donald Trump knows where the strength is. That's why he's attacking it. That's why he tries to discredit it. Probably got dressed down by a black woman years ago when he was in school. Went to the Wharton School. That was in Philly. Probably got dressed down by a sister. Just saying. Gotta stay woke. Let's not lose focus. Black men, we gotta stand strong. It's time for us to move forward. We can't be out here, you know, tap dancing and, you know, tap dancing around situations. Man, it's time for us to take our place on the real. Hey, this is your man Jeff Thomas on the Jeff Thomas Show. I want to thank you all for tuning in today. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. We got Black Men Talking Wednesdays. That's our show on Wednesdays. Black Men Talking Wednesdays. And Thursdays is Relationship Thursday. So make sure you get in on all things relationships. Holla at us. Man, I've enjoyed this show. I mean, and I think, you know, black people, we are forgiving people. So I know Cuba will be straight in that regards. But we also have to realize we all don't have the same views about things. And I think that's where sometimes black people get caught up. You know, we think that we all think alike and we don't. Cube is a businessman. So, you know, and people were talking about 50 Cent. He endorsed Donald Trump. Nobody give a damn about 50 Cent, what he's talking about. Who I mean, really, who's? I'm not listening to 50 Cent on nothing. Nothing. Nothing serious at all. Period. Point blank. That's just me. Maybe how he made it out of the hood. Okay, well, I listen to it. That's not a unique story. That happens a lot. I'm just saying, man, for him to say that, okay, he's in the tax bracket. Just say you vote for the tax bracket. But for him to say he don't give a damn about black people, you know, he's caring about the Biden's tax plan. All right, well, you know, if we stop watching those shows and stop buying some of the stuff that you have, I think you would really be concerned about that. That would make a lot of sense. And, you know, I'm glad you get rid of that effing vodka, because that was trash. That was hot trash. Effing vodka. Ugh, horrible. I think I've had a bottle of that. It's been in my collection about 4 years now. I haven't touched it. Just, you know, come on, man. Just come on. We got to get better than that. Ice Cube, shout out to you. At least you tried, and it backfired. Just, you got to know the political game is different from, it's different. That though, the politicians are the biggest gangsters around. They the biggest gangsters going. Just know that. They the big gangsters. They control all the resources. They control everything. The power in their hands to vote on different things and influence different things. Come on, man. We got to know that game, too, if we're going to get in it. But, hey, this is your man, Jeff Thomas. Thank you for tuning in to our show. And, hey, we always on time. Make sure you check us out tomorrow evening on the Jeff Thomas Show, The Black Men Talking Wednesdays. Peace.